from News Talk 580 KMJ, this is the Maddie Report, Valley Views Edition. Here is Mark Kepler.
This week on the Maddie Report, Valley Views Edition, California educates 1/8 of all the students in the United States. Unfortunately, California students rank near the bottom compared with other states in terms of math and reading, and are far behind students from other countries. As a result, California, along with 44 other states, has adopted a new and more rigorous Common Core approach to K-12 education. Whether it is tackling a math problem or analyzing a text, the new Common Core approach encourages students to show how they came up with their solutions and be able to articulate how they think. The overall goal is to promote more critical thinking, rather than merely memorizing answers for a test. Will it work? We'll ask Nancy Brownwell, the Senior Fellow for the State Department of Education and the State Board of Education, and John Fensterwald, a reporter with EdSource Today, one of the most respected publications covering K-12 education in California.
We'll also hear from Tammy Calcedias, Assistant Superintendent of Educational Services with the Merced Union High School District, and Charlene Stringham, Student Academic Services Administrator with Tulare County Office of Education.
The Common Core, a necessary course correction?
Additional funding for the Maddie Report made possible by a grant from Paramount Agricultural Companies, growing healthy food for you and your family.
From Fresno, the Maddie Report, with Executive Director of the Maddie Institute, Mark Kepler.
Improving K-12 education is a top priority for Governor Brown. What are the proposals that he's changing in terms of what's going to be taught and how it's going to be taught? We're fortunate to be joined by Nancy Brownwell, a senior fellow for the California Department of Education and the California Board of Education, who's leading the effort on transitioning California's K-12 schools to the new Common Core. So welcome to the Maddie Report, Nancy.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Generally, what are the Common Core standards and how were they developed?
Standards really define what students need to know and be able to do in the preschool through K-12 classrooms, and the Common Core standards really grew out of the 1997 standards that the state of California had adopted. Only 48 states really looked at the development of them. And in our education business, we generally start with literacy and mathematics as being really critical standards. And for each grade level, we define the expectations, and then schools and districts have a chance to develop their programs around those standards.
You know, I don't want to get into too much into the weeds here too much with folks, but can you give us a little detail on the Common Core and how it's impacting math, let's say?
Mathematics is a kind of interesting picture right now. There are the content standards. Each grade level defines simple things like addition, subtraction in the younger grades, up through algebra, linear equations at the older. And we have a set of math practices that really try to help students understand, how do you think like a mathematician? How do you use tools, use problem solving? And that is really a big change. And so we're asking kids to both learn and know concepts and skills and to explain their thinking and how they got their answer in mathematics.
They just can't write down a number. They're going to have to show how they got there.
Yes. Show your work.
I better tell my daughter who's in second grade that she's going to have to show her work. You know, what about the English standards for the Common Core? How are they different?
English is still about reading, writing, listening, speaking, collaborating on research projects. The emphasis, though, is trying to say, let's have students read literature and let's have them also read informational text, science, history, biology. And we want them to have more what we call text complexity. One of the ways that kids really become much more fluent readers is a sort of grappling with ideas in what they're reading. So we still want to teach reading well at the early grades. We want children to learn the sound symbol system and move on to more complex reading. So there's a lot more reading of information and a lot more writing using evidence from what you're reading.
So these are pretty big changes. So here's the question, why? Why was it felt that we had to move to the Common Core?
Well, California's been on an interesting journey. I'm a longtime educator. I've been an educator in the state for 40 years. When I first started, we talked about minimum proficiencies. Then we moved in the 80s and 2000s to proficiency specifically, and now we're trying to say, how do we prepare kids to be college and career ready? And so the implications are we want kids to be successful in the world in which they're going to live, and we have to really build on those early standards and ask kids to do more critical thinking, more problem solving, more real world applications, and that's what these Common Core standards are about.
Okay, so we've got, my understanding is the curriculum for math was approved by the State Board of Education in November of last year, When are the new English standards going to be published?
Well, there's sort of a couple things here. The standards were adopted really in 2010. In November, we approved the math framework because the curriculum really is about what are the tools you use, what are the resources you use, what are the materials you use. And right now, there are 31 new math programs from which districts will be able to choose the best ones to meet their needs, along with the kinds of things that they're expecting their students to demonstrate. The English language arts framework. This year, we're really working on trying to combine English language development for our English learners and literacy skills. And so those resources, fully integrated and aligned with the Common Core, won't be available until 2016. But there are a lot of pieces and resources of materials that districts are using right now based on the old materials that they had.
So what's the deadline for the new Common Core standards to be implemented in every California school?
Well, it's interesting when we think about deadline, when we're trying to, I think the way that we like to think about this is we're actually developing a new operating system for pre-K-12 education. This is a long-term 3 to 5 year process. We'll have field test assessments this spring. The first testing will be in the spring of 2015. So we'll be on this journey for 3 to 5 years as teachers become more proficient in really moving students towards more college and career readiness.
Okay, well, as the Common Core is rolled out in California classrooms, what's being done to make sure that implementation is a success? That conversation in a moment. This is the Maddie Report. Welcome back. We're talking with Nancy Brunell, the person tasked with the state and with coordinating the new Common Core in California's public schools. So teachers have got to do all this work changing from what they were doing to the new Common Core. Are they going to get instructional materials to help them do that? And when are those going to be adopted?
Yes. There are math materials currently available now. The board adopted some new instructional materials. Districts will be able to choose those that best meet their needs. And additionally, this Common Core effort is really about instructional practice as well. How am I thinking about what I'm doing in my classroom? So while the materials for math are be available, many districts will be piloting and adopting probably this spring. New literacy and English language development materials won't be coming till 2016. There's a lot of current materials that teachers are using in their collaborating with their colleagues to really look at how do I really help students meet the needs that I have in reading and literacy.
So if there's going to be a lag time between, you know, setting up the curriculum and then the instructional materials, what are teachers supposed to use in the interim to teach to the Common Core?
Yes. Well, the good news, I think, about reading and writing in content areas is we have science textbooks, we have biology textbooks at the high school. We have information in the content currently right now. And so teachers are using a wide array of resources. One of the advantages of this is a multi-state, 40 states adopting Common Core, trying to build instructional materials. There are a lot of units that teachers have built in other states. There are resources online. There are existing textbooks. We can pull from those. So it's really giving teachers a chance to really think about their planning and their instructional priorities in a different way than they have over the past few years.
I'm sure a lot of companies in these areas are seeing everybody moving to the Common Core. They're rushing into the market with instructional materials, I'm assuming.
Yes.
What about the state in terms of helping the districts implement the Common Core? What are they doing?
The state really has provided much in the way of resources, guidance. There is a set of professional learning modules that are electronically available. There are 14 really critically key topics. Obviously, with the resources available from the governor's budget on really targeting technology, professional resources.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. There's $1.25 billion going toward professional development and upgrading technology. I understand the professional development because you want to change the way teachers teach. But why technology?
Well, the new assessment systems, which we haven't talked about, are going to be computer adapted. Students are going to be demonstrating what they know about the Common Core on a variety of devices. And so both the connectivity and the capacity to use technology to better teach the content is the priority. And then we'll also be assessing with that. And so some of those funds are being used for technology along with instructional resources, new materials, a whole array of things that really help the teacher have at his or her fingertips a wide range of resources to use to teach the children in their class.
You know, you're seeing a move toward technology even in higher education, you know, online instruction and the rest of it, so where it's coming all the way down to the K through 12 as well. What about testing against the Common Core? When's that going to go into effect?
Right. That's another big change that's underway. We have a smarter, balanced consortium, one of two consortiums across the state that are developing new assessments. We're a governing state. Beginning March 18th is the first window of testing for schools and districts in California and students across the state
who's going to be
field testing the item.
Who's going to be tested?
Students in grades 3 through 8 and grade 11. And they will have both an opportunity to take a literacy test and a mathematics test. But a reminder that the field test is really to test the system and the items. In the spring of 2015 will be the first operational test, where we really have a sense of how students are doing in relationship to individual scores. There will be no scores this spring,
right?
Because it's all about testing the test.
Yeah, that was my understanding, that the state's going to be discontinuing the standardized test that's used in the past as it works toward developing these new tests for the Common Core. But is a break in testing a good idea? Because we've heard some criticism around that.
Yeah. Well, we feel, I think, from the policy, the state superintendent, the governor, the state board, that we were really asking teachers to rethink instruction at a very deep level. And if we were going to still hold them accountable to the old assessments, that's a real tension that I think puts teachers in a very difficult position. So I think the wise choice was, we like to say, we're putting a pause because we're really transitioning. We're still going to test in science under the old system. And 11th graders are still going to take the early assessment program to give them some college readiness feedback.
Yeah, you can't serve two masters.
No.
I understand that. Well, once you begin to test students against the Common Core, can you foresee any situation where the way teachers teach and the way teachers are taught to teach is going to change?
Absolutely. And that is already underway in our teacher preparation programs. Programs align their instructional courses to the content that teachers moving into the field have to teach. And so I think the real challenge of the Common Core standards is we're clear on what students need to know and be able to do. We've had that since 1997, but we've also learned a lot in the last 14 years. So now it's about really managing that instruction. How do you build a classroom that every child has a real rich experience every day across a lot of subject areas? How are you differentiating? How are you providing students with who need extra time and instruction and partnering with parents to make this happen? Because that's the way it's going to happen.
We just have a few seconds left in the segment, but I did want to ask you this. How and when do you think we're going to know whether the Common Core is a success?
Well, I think we're on our way, but it's going to take a few years to really have some good sound data. When we walk into classrooms and we see engaged students at every classroom level, we see excitement and conversation, we see students engaged in complex tasks, that's going to tell us a lot about where we are, and then we will also have assessments and an accountability system.
And then, we'll know.
And then we'll know.
Okay, well, I want to thank Nancy Bromwell, with the Senior Fellow with the Common Core Systems Implementation Team at the State Department of Education and the State Board of Education, for being here. When we come back, we'll talk with John Fensterwald, who writes a well-respected blog on California education, and get his take on the rollout or the fallout of the Common Core. That conversation in a moment. This is the Maddie Report. Now I'm joined by John Fensterwalls, who's a reporter with EdSource Today, which has developed a stellar reputation as a respected source of information in education and research and analysis well in those issues. Welcome back to the Maddie Report, John.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So what's driving this move to the Common Core?
I think there's a recognition that as we head into the 21st century, that the standards that California has used needed to be updated. They needed to stress some of the skills we'll need in the workplace, critical thinking, particularly the emphasis on writing. It's not an indictment, the fact that California adopted the Common Core standards of California, its state standards. It's not an indictment of those, but a recognition that we needed to improve them, and this is one way of doing it. And
we're one of, 44, 45 states?
California and 44 states, yes, have adopted it.
How are the teachers responding to this change?
I think of all the folks who are involved in Common Core, I think the teachers are most excited about it. And I think that's for several reasons. One is under No Child Left Behind, the pressure to do well on the California standards and the multiple choice tests, really regimented teaching and put a lot of pressure. It also narrowed the curriculum into focus just on English language arts and math. And that's what the Common Core standards are, although they're broader in involving science and social studies content as well. But it basically frees teachers to go back to doing what they do best. And many of them felt constrained under the California standards and under the narrow tests that we took. And I think it's liberating for teachers.
Well, there's still going to be pressure with tests, I assume.
There will be. Different kind of tests.
Okay. What about the students? How are they responding to this change to the Common Core?
I think it's too early to say. I think one hears, you know, anecdotal evidence that there are aspects of it that they find exciting, particularly the problem-solving aspects and the fact that it's not involved as much drill and kill as before under the
less memorization.
California standards, of which there were many standards, were very fact-based, and Common Core again stresses more collaboration, writing, teamwork, some of the skills that industries say that they value as we head in the 21st century.
Now, as a parent, this actually got my attention. It says that the Common Core is going to result in more homework probably for students, which means parents are going to probably have more homework to do with their children. How are parents responding to the Common Core?
I think it's, again, a bit early. I think one of the challenges of Common Core for districts will be to educate parents as to what Common Core. I think surveys indicate that parents really aren't particularly knowledgeable about the new standards, and that's one of the challenges, particularly as we get into new tests and the results of those tests.
You know, you're talking about the kill and drill approach before, basically memorization without spending much time on analysis.
Right.
This is a pretty radical shift then for teachers, this new approach with the Common Core. Do you think we're going to see some rough patches as the Common Core is rolled out?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question for several reasons. Number one is in California, we're coming out of a recession. So the legislature last year approved $1 billion for Common Core. But teachers haven't had a lot of training in Common Core. That's the primary need, is to have them trained and working together to learn the new standards. It's a multi-year process. And also the tests that we're going to be taking will be given on a computer. That's a whole new set of, presents a whole new set of challenges.
So the question is enough being done to help teachers be successful in implementing the Common Core?
Again, I think it's a multi-year process, and I think the teachers will say, and I think legislators are hearing it, I think we need another big boost in funding for preparing for the Common Core tests, which begin a year from now. So I think you're going to be advocating another billion or whatever, if their budget allows it in May.
So they gave $1.25 billion last time. You think they might do the same next year?
I think there's definitely a call for it. It's not in the governor's budget yet. There is a prediction that there will be a surplus and there will be extra revenue when the May revision of the budget comes.
So what happens to those teachers who were brought in under the old regime, the old system, who may not have the technical competencies to really teach math at a deep level?
Yeah.
Because that's going to be required now under the Common Core.
Right.
What happens to them?
Right. Well, I think it's going to be a lift. It's going to be a challenge, and a different generation that came in only under No Child Left Behind and only knowing drill and kill and multiple choice, they didn't really have to know math concepts, particularly to teach math to get by. And this requires a deeper understanding and an ability to explain to students in ways that they didn't have to before. So I think that some of the experts in this area say that, it's revealing, in fact, some weaknesses in math teachers' preparation and understanding.
So let's transition to that question about the colleges and universities that actually train our teachers, those who teach teachers. Are they going to have to change how they teach teachers?
Absolutely, they will. And I think it's going to be a challenge for them because the teachers may not be well versed in these standards, and so it'll take some time for them too. Whether CSUs can respond quickly enough, I think, is one of the open questions.
Okay, well, when we come back, what impact will the Common Core have on those K-12 test scores? That conversation in a moment. This is the Matty Report. Well, Welcome back. We're talking with John Fensterwald, reporter with EdSource Today. Well, a lot of people want to know, this move to the Common Core, what impact is it going to have on student learning, and what impact is it going to have on student test scores?
Right. Well, let's deal with the test scores first. The first tests that will count will be in next year, 2015. And there'll be a number of challenges. One is technology. We'll schools be able technologically to give students tests on computers? That's one we don't know. The other thing is, young students be able to do the keyboard skills to be able to do it? And if they don't, are you judging them on what their keyboard skills, or are you judging on their knowledge? So it's going to take a while to figure it out. The other thing is that it will take several years in order to look at the scores and figure out how students are doing. What you shouldn't do, or what you actually can't do by state law, is to look at how you're going to do on the Common Core tests, which are technically called the smarter balanced tests for Common Core. You can't take the results of that and then compare it to the old California state test. You can't do that. First of all, it's bad. It's inappropriate to do comparing
but
two tests.
But the law says you can't do it.
Law says you can't do it. And so it's a brand new game. So it will take several years in order to get a sense of what students are learning.
So right now I think they're doing pilot exams, right, to kind of check out this new Common Core test, see if it works. And then the full rollout is in 2015, you were saying.
Right.
What about this idea of kind of not reporting the results of those pilot tests for a year? Kind of flying blind in a way. Is that a good idea or a bad idea?
It's a necessary idea, because the point of doing a field test or a pilot test is to perfect the test. It's not to bring results for individual parents. The point of a field test is to develop the questions and to figure out how to prepare the first test. So it would be invalid and inappropriate to give parents the results of the field test, which students will take starting March through May throughout California.
Not every student, though.
California is unique in that in its seeking from the federal government approval, it promised that every student would take the field test for Common Core. California is unique in that respect, and it's been arguing with the federal government over that for a number of months.
That they will or will not have every student take that test?
They will. California has...
Most states do not.
Most states only test maybe 10 or 20% of students on the field test, and the other students test their state standard tests as they have done before. California made the decision, hey, we're moving to new standards. They're very different from California standards. We need teachers to focus on these tests. We also need a field test so that we can see whether we have the bandwidth and the computers. We need to work out all these problems.
You were talking about some of the issues that we're going to confront with the testing, and one is computers.
Yes.
There's an assumption that every student is computer literate.
Yes.
That may or may not be true. Also, keyboard skills. Are these the kinds of things that they're worried about as they roll out the new Common Core testing?
Yeah, I think we'll see. That's one of the advantages of doing a field test this spring, is we'll see those problems. There will be lots and lots of problems in many districts in terms of the rollout of, but that's good. We're going to see them now in 2014 to know what we need to do in 2015. And there is also an out. Next year, under the rules of Smarter Balance, you can take paper and pencil tests for 3 years, but the consortium that developed this test is really discouraging it, and California is discouraging it. But as a fallback, if you don't have the technological capacity, your kids can take paper and pencil tests.
The answer might be obvious, but I'll ask the question anyway. Why move to a computer test? Why not have either a computer test or a, you know, fill in the box? Paper pencil test.
For a number of reasons. And one is that the questions are actually more challenging that are better presented on a computer. Some of them, not just multiple choice, but there'll be writing tests, and there'll be other complex problems that are best done via computer. And the other thing it's called computer adaptive. So that when you begin taking this test, given the answer that you give, if it's correct, it will direct you in one set of questions. If you don't get it right, it will direct you into another set. And so it's the questions are oriented to your knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so the result is that the students will be able to, the test will show where those students are much better than before. It's a brand new way of approaching standardized tests.
Do educational experts expect scores eventually to go up, down, or stay the same?
Well, I think we can go back and a lot of there's a lot of worry about the results on these initial tests for Common Core. But if we go back to the California standards test back 12 years ago, 14, I forget. So those tests were quite, the scores were quite low. And over time, we saw a great increase in progress. And I think you can expect the same with Common Core.
So last question. Where's the consensus here? Is the consensus that this is going to actually improve educational outcomes in California, the move to the Common Core?
I think that the standards are good. The tests are better tests than we had before. I think, you know, we're going to have to wait several years to see those results. There may be indications along the way, and we have to look at ways that we can evaluate it other than simply the standardized test scores from Smarter Bounds. You know, we've got to look at other ways to evaluate what we're doing to make that determination.
I guess we'll hopeful.
I'm optimistic.
Optimistic is a good way to end it. Well, thank you, John Fensterwall. He's an editor, a reporter with the EdSource Today, and Nancy Bromwell, senior fellow with the State Department of Education and State Board of Education.
Up next, what impact will the adoption of the Common Core have on Valley schools? We'll talk to Charlene Stringham, Student Academic Services Administrator with the Tulare County Office of Education, and Tammy Calcedillas, Assistant Superintendent of Educational Services with the Merced Union High School District.
From News Talk 580 KMJ, this is the Matty Report, Valley Views Edition. Here is Mark Kepler.
Welcome back. How are local school districts handling the transition to the Common Core? We're joined by two Valley educators on the front lines of implementing the Common Core. They are Tammy Calcedillas, Assistant Superintendent for Educational Services with Merced Union High School, and Charlene Stringham, Tulare County Office of Education Student Academic Services Administrator. Well, that's a mouthful for a title. But anyway, I'm sure you've got lots of work to go with that title. But welcome to the Matty Report, Valley Views Edition, both of you.
Thank you.
Tammy, let me start with you. When a parent in Merced asks you, what exactly is the Common Core all about? What do you tell them?
I tell them that it's a transition in as far as a curriculum and a testing system. Currently, the curriculum and testing system that we are in focuses on what students know and understand about content at a certain grade level. And the transition is away from know and understand to an application of what students can do with what they know. It's a relevance-based, meaning that, you know, we are moving into looking at, you know, the workplace and into college and career, and how do we apply that information rather than what do we just know and understand. So it's a transition to higher order thinking, and it's a transition into critical thinking, and it's a good thing for kids.
So Charlene, when you are talking to a parent in Tulare and they ask you, how is this going to better prepare my child for the real world, what do you tell them?
Well, to build upon Tammy's response on the fact that the Common Core standards emphasize the application of knowledge and skills as opposed to simply the acquisition of such, parents need to know that there are going to be increases in the level and amount of critical thinking that will be required of students. They'll be asked to provide evidence for responses and to explain their thinking.
So it's not just memorization.
Correct, and regurgitation of information.
Right.
The new standards require students to be critical consumers of information, which is especially important in our digital age.
Are you seeing a lot of parental involvement here? I mean, is this topic really on a parent's radar screen?
You know, it varies from district to district. At Tulare County Office of Ed, we support 46 districts representing over 275 schools. We've been presenting at Common Core school board meetings, PTA functions, service clubs, and thus far, response from parents has been really positive. It's also important to note that with the Common Core, what else is new in California is that we have a new funding system for our schools. And schools are in the process at this very moment of developing their plans that will detail how they're going to implement Common Core.
Are parents more interested in the financing than in the curriculum?
Well, no. What I was going to add to that is that an essential piece of crafting this plan is to get stakeholder involvement from the parents regarding the curriculum.
Mm-hmm. What about Merced? What do you see as the biggest challenge in making this transition from, you know, the old approach to this new Common Core in K-12?
Well, one of the biggest challenges that we have faced is it's our need as educators to make sure we're doing the right things for the kids that we serve. So it's difficult when you're implementing and transitioning to something new. And in Merced Union High School District, this is actually our second year of implementation of the Common Core. But we've done so on a voluntary basis only. So 2 years ago during the summer, I held 13 days of professional development with our teachers that volunteered who said, you know, I want to be a part of this now. I don't want to wait. And so we implemented with 24 educators last year, and then we came together at the end of year one and did a lot of refinement work because we had now implemented the standards. So they had come alive, and we knew the areas in which we needed to focus, we needed to refine, and we needed to reinforce. And so we spent some time doing that. Then we took our second wave of early adopter volunteers last summer, and they built on the body of work that our first 24 teachers had created. And then, you know, we've grown that on a voluntary basis. So when we get to next year, to where we get to implementation, meaning mandatory implementation of the standards, the year of the test, we have
the year of the test.
52 teachers total that needed additional training that had not volunteered to be a part of this. So we've actually had our hands on this, implementing in classrooms. For some of our teachers, this is their second year.
You know, I want to jump in for a second and just kind of follow up on that year of the test. Why do you say year of the test?
Because in the school year 2014-15, our students will be required to take the Common Core assessment.
All right.
So they will be assessed on the Common Core standards.
Yeah, Charlene, what about in Tulare County? What are you seeing as the biggest challenges that you're facing implementing this whole new approach to education called the Common Core?
Just that it's a whole new approach and that we really have to analyze them in its entirety and ensure that all elements are in alignment. So this is bigger than just implementing a set of standards. We need to look at internal assessments, how we're going to report progress to students and parents, the development of course curriculum, which Tammy spoke to, upgrading technology resources. There's many, many layers, and it's just imperative that schools continually both communicate their implementation plan and report out on their progress.
You know, Charlene, what about one of the criticisms of the Common Core, and that is that it may be too demanding for younger grades. Like, you know, very little is taught. What is taught to first graders, let's say, on ancient civilizations is actually going to stick with them. So do you agree or disagree? Are we asking too much of our students in the Common Core?
I do not believe we're asking too much. And actually, I'm a little perplexed by the question, as the standards do not call for first graders to study ancient civilizations. In language arts, the emphasis in the primary grades is on building a strong literacy foundation, a focus on developing strong readers and writers to ensure future academic success. In fact, there's a special section of standards that speaks specifically to literacy development in the primary grades. In math, emphasis on developing deeper conceptual understanding of numbers as opposed to simply that rote memorization of math facts.
Mm-hmm. You know, Tammy, what about Merced's current teachers? You think they're ready to teach to the Common Core?
I think we have a large number who are ready. Again, you know, we have some teachers who have implemented the standards themselves. This is the second school year in which they've done so. And then we have others that are receiving professional development, you know, this year for the first time. There is a lot of professional development and training that goes into this just in the beginning. And then there needs to be a lot of collaboration time allowed for teachers to come together with their colleagues, either site-wide, district-wide, and you know, create common formative assessments, to create curriculum, to look at the different resources that are available. There needs to be a lot of collaboration time for teachers to do that work.
Well,
I think we're getting there. I think we would, we're not 100%, but I think that we are further ahead than many of our surrounding districts.
Well, one of the complaints you hear is that teachers saying, listen, we haven't received the new textbooks that match up to the Common Core. We don't have the right teaching materials. Are you hearing that from your teachers?
I have heard that. They've questioned, you know, is there a textbook? But, you know, a textbook is a tool. And the standards are what we teach, and that's what's important. And so, you know, one of the questions I get asked a lot is, what if we've done all of this work for nothing? And they change this or they change that. Well, the assessments may change, the time in which they give the assessments may change, but the standards themselves likely won't change a lot. So if we invest our time and our energy in a standards-based teaching learning cycle, then I think we've done the right thing. And the resources will come along. When we first started this work 2 years ago, and you did a Google search for a performance task in any content area, you didn't get a lot of information. And now if you do that, you know, you get millions of hits. And that just shows, you know, the information, not all quality, of course, but the information that is available. So our teachers are finding lots of really good resources on the internet, on the web. The Library of Congress is a fabulous website that I know they access frequently. And so they're finding those tools and not necessarily the tool being the textbook.
Yeah, so it's actually probably a good thing for parents to know that they could access that information as well and help their kids in school. What about, Charlene, what about you in terms of, what about new teachers that are coming, you know, just graduating from college? Are you finding that the preparation they're getting in their college programs are preparing them to teach to this new Common Core?
That's a great question. You know, it varies with each university and system. There's different, slightly different approaches and timelines for revision of programs. Our office has been working with several institutes of higher ed to help shift their course of study. I believe that our 2014 graduating class is going to be a true indicator of the efforts that are in place, but it's a little early to actually comment fully on the effectiveness.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a big issue going forward, though, I would assume. Well, let me ask you this, Charlene. What do you think about the financial assistance that you're getting from the state to implement the Common Core? Is it enough? It's probably never enough, but...
Just last week, I had the privilege to participate in a roundtable discussion on education matters with Governor Jerry Brown, and each participant was encouraged to take the opportunity to send a message with him to Sacramento. And although I had several messages, first and foremost on my list was that we need more Common Core implementation funds. The one-time dollars that we received this year are appreciated, but they're not enough. We need support for additional professional development, all the activities to which Tammy spoke of, the procurement of materials, time for teacher planning, technology, et cetera. So, no, not enough money.
Well, Tammy, let me ask you. I mean, the state's going to give $1.25 billion to help implement the Common Core, and that's for some of the things that Charlene's been talking about, including technology. What are your thoughts on that? Is that woefully inadequate? Is it, you know, sufficient but not really enough? Do you like to see more? I mean, what are your thoughts?
I think it's nowhere near enough because it's one-time implementation money for English, language arts, and math. when we received the initial allocation of the one-time monies, the Next Generation Science Standards had not even been adopted in California. So at that time, when we were given the allocation of money, it was just in two content areas. Since then, we have adopted science standards, and the science standards are vastly different than the science standards that were in place. We've gone back to that inquiry-based model of science, a lot of consumables, a lot of science lab materials that will be needed, especially in our high schools, and it's not there. And so then, you know, after that, we will have digital. We have a variety of standards that will be adopted, you know, after this, that will come along to make a full body of standards that are new and updated and based on the Common Core philosophy. And that's not going to be enough money. There's no way. It's nice to have. It's, you know, great for the professional development that is needed. But it's nowhere near enough. It's just a start.
Well, let me ask you this. We only got a minute left in this segment. I wanted to ask you about this general approach that the governor's had on lots of public policy issues of pushing this stuff down to the local level. Do you think that the state is giving local school districts enough flexibility in what you're teaching and how you teach it? Tammy, why don't you start with you?
And what we teach and how we teach, what we teach is determined by the standards. So when we adopted the Common Core State Standards in California, that determined the what. These are standards, they're national standards, that's the what. The how is very much open to teachers, and that's the way it needs to be. Our teachers are experts. We provide professional development so that they have a plethora of strategies. They have a toolbox full of strategies that they can use for different students at different levels, you know, with a variety of different challenges in front of them. But the how is very much about the teacher and their experiences, their expertise, and of course their district initiatives and focuses.
Okay, well, we're right out of time in this segment, so up next, what about testing? Will the new way of teaching result in better test scores by Valley students? That conversation in a moment. This is the Matty Report, Valley Views Edition.
From News Talk 580 KMJ, this is the Matty Report, Valley Views Edition. Here is Mark Kepler.
Welcome back. What impact will the implementation to the Common Core have on the performance of Valley students on those standardized tests that every parent and, frankly, every homeowner pores over? We're talking to Charlene Stringham with the Tulare County Office of Education and Tammy Calcedias, who's with the Merced Union High School District. Well, Charlene, let me talk to you about this testing change with the adoption of the Common Core. How's it going to change with the Common Core? How's testing going to change?
Well, probably one of the biggest changes is that the tests will occur on the computer. Students in grades 3 to 8 and 11th will take both ELA and math assessments online. Part of the test is going to be computer adaptive, so the questions will adjust based on students' responses, and this will provide a more accurate measure of student ability. Another big change is students are going to be asked to complete a performance task in both subject areas. And this part of the assessment is going to require multiple steps, will engage the student in critical thinking, and require them to provide a written response in real time.
Hmm. Do you think that the short-term result might be actually lower scores as students and teachers acclimate to these new tests?
I think it's possible that, quote, lower test scores may occur initially, but it's important to understand that we're going to be comparing two different systems, kind of grading apples to oranges. Mm-hmm. So we have different standards with different performance indicators, and it's going to take some time to adjust and measure student progress.
Well, Tammy, what about those challenges that you're seeing in Merced, getting your students ready for this testing regimen? One of the things that Charlene was talking about was an increased use of computers, for example. Do you have the technical hardware, and do students have the technical know-how to take these computer-based tests?
Well, we're getting there. We happen to be a district that has recently been funded with E-Rate, which is a federal funding mechanism for computer technology, the hardware and the wiring. And we do have our students enrolled in courses. We have added a graduation requirement of NET, which is a computer requirement, computer know-how, citizenship type of graduation requirement. So we're getting there. We have given the Smarter Balance, which is the testing consortium, the pilot test in the district. We gave that last year in ninth grade English and 11th grade math. And our students did okay. You know, it's for the purpose of research. It's a field test. We didn't receive any feedback on how the students did. But there was an obvious difference between students who had access either in the classroom or at home on a regular basis with a computer with that type of technology and those that didn't. Even some of the testing questions will say, you know, click and drag and drop. And, you know, we know that's computer terminology that some of our students just may not have yet. But we're getting there. We know that that's going to be one of the challenges is just the type of testing, the way in which students are tested. They're not used to that. Yeah. They will have to get used to that. But I'm certain they can do it. Yeah, students will rise to the level of expectation you put before them.
Yeah, that's true. But a lot of people, I think a lot of us think that, oh, if they're a younger person, of course they're acclimated to a computer. But that necessarily may not be true because they may not have a computer in the home. Charlie, let me ask you, other than kind of ranking a school's performance or getting an idea of a school's academic performance, how will these tests be used in Tulare districts?
Well, I believe the most important part of assessment is to provide feedback to students and parents. So we're committed to seeing this Smarter Balance assessment test as more than simply a way to rank a school, but rather as an opportunity for personal dialogue and for growth between teacher, student, and parent. There has been some discussion that the high school assessment might be utilized to determine basic competency, such as the California High School Exit Exam or indicators of college readiness. But we're still waiting for more on that particular topic.
Well, what about, Tammy, what about at Merced? How are the results of these tests going to be used?
I couldn't agree with Charlene more. You know, the whole idea behind assessment is that it drives instruction. And as a teacher, you know, I looked at my assessment results continually because it told me, you know, my weaknesses. It was a reflection tool of the areas in which I may not have, you know, taught a standard or a skill adequately.
So is this
and
kind
so
of like
that's the
it,
whole I
is this kind of like a I'm feedback sorry? Is this kind of like a feedback loop? So you teach, you test, and then if you see there are problems, you go back and you correct it.
It should be. There should be a continuous improvement cycle that is built into every school, every educational system. That's the idea behind testing, period, is that, you know, we know what we've done well, and, you know, we always try to improve upon that. You know, building on what Charlene said is that I had heard originally that the test, if students, you know, test proficient, that eventually this could be used as some sort of college admission tool, you know, in lieu of, you know, some measure that is used currently, but I haven't heard the other conversations about that.
Okay. You know, the state is rolling out this pilot program to test the test. They're not reporting the results. And one commentator really didn't like that. They felt that not having these tests, field tests reported is what he called a, quote, an anti-accountability Trojan horse, unquote. Should we have kept reporting testing results instead of this one-year moratorium?
No, absolutely not. I think that allowing our teachers this year to get used to Common Core standards, to be out of the classroom as professional development requires, and not have that additional stress of, you know, covering that last bit of material before the CSTs, I think is probably the biggest gift we could have given to our teachers this year, and I think it's the right thing to do. They hold themselves accountable, and I think that's more important than anything.
Well, Charlene, let me ask you, how will the Tulare County Office of Education determine whether this change, this pretty big change to the Common Core, be a success?
We are committed to considering factors far beyond just the test. Indicators of success would include attendance rates, graduation rates, college and trade school enrollment rates. We would hope to see an increase in all. Qualitative measures of success, such as community, parent, and student satisfaction, also need to be considered when determining whether or not Common Core is successful.
Are you going to actually come up with those criteria and then list those out and report?
Actually, for high school, they're already in reporting of what was used to be known as our API, our measures of accountability. Those different rates are being taken into consideration and will be reported, will be mandated to be reported. And then we'll look to bringing that down to following students in the elementary school and linking truly that K-16 path.
Okay. Well, Tammy, what about Merced? How are you guys going to determine whether or not the Common Core has been a success in Merced?
Well, with the new funding model in California, there are 8 basic criteria that must be looked at, and data must be gathered in 8 priority areas. And so those 8 priority areas speak to student engagement, attendance, discipline, college and career readiness, student achievement, your graduation rates, all of those indicators that point to, you know, schools that are offering, you know, good things for kids. And when we have those things in place, then students tend to come to school more often. They graduate at a higher rate. And I think all of those indicators will prove to us that we are doing a good job with the implementation of the Common Core.
Just a quick question. Those 8 basic criteria you're talking about, you think every school district is going to be reporting on those 8 criteria?
They will. That's a requirement of the local control funding formula, which is the way in which we are being funded in California.
Well, that's going to be very interesting to see those reports come out. Well, I want to thank our 2 guests, Tammy Calzadillas, the Assistant Superintendent of Educational Services at the Merced Union High School District, and Charlene Stringham with the Tulare County Office of Education, the Student Academic Services Administrator. Thanks, both of you, for joining us. If you want to keep up to date with state and local politics, you can sign up for our free e-newsletter, The Maddie Daily, by just logging on to our website at maddieinstitute.org.
The Maddie Report Valley Views Edition is a public affairs partnership between KMJ Radio and the nonpartisan Maddie Institute, providing the Valley with valuable insight and analysis on important public policy issues.
This is Mark Kepler for The Maddie Report Valley Views Edition. Thanks for joining us.